Welcome to Toy Flavor Radio Soundtracks. We play all of your favorite anime openings, endings, retro, and current TV shows, movies, soundtracks, and along the way, learn a little bit about their history. Subscribe to our weekly show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Anchor, Stitcher, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Please give us your ratings and reviews. We'd love to hear from you. Leave us a voice message with your soundtrack request over at anchor.fm/toyflavor, and we'll play you and your request on the next show. And now, sit back, relax, and enjoy tonight's episode of Toy Flavor Soundtracks. The Forest Moon of Endor. In 1983, what we thought was the final battle between good and evil took place right here in Return of the Jedi. I thought it fitting, as this was where C-3PO recounted the story to become part of the Ewok tribe, what better place to do the same for you? You know, I was there. Well, not Endor, but in the theater. 1977 for the original Star Wars release, 1980 for The Empire Strikes Back, and 1983 for Return of the Jedi. Way before the internet as we know it, the emotions for the series was just as high as they are today. Considering the global appeal to the franchise, every now and then, I come across people that claim to never have seen a Star Wars movie in their life. Which is perfectly fine, of course. If you go by the feedback on Facebook and Twitter alone, the emotions behind the franchise is so powerful it can be intimidating. Here on the show, our weekly focus has been on the graceful art of the soundtrack to our favorite movies and TV programs. The music that fuels and propels a story. John Williams, who has composed for each Star Wars film since 1977, is a prolific composer whose body of work would take the entire evening alone just to list the titles. Suffice to say, if you were kept at the edge of your seat watching 1972's Poseidon Adventure, held in suspense by 1975's two-note Jaws theme, or cried during 1982's E.T., it was the music of John Williams that triggered your senses. You see what I mean? I didn't even get started talking about Indiana Jones, or Lost in Space, or Valley of the Dolls, or Christopher Reeve's Superman. John Williams will have an Icons program exclusive to his work soon enough. Check back with us at toyflavorradio.com for more details. To encourage new viewers to a fantastic cinematic experience, this week's episode honors Star Wars by catching you up to the story thus far, from Episode 1 to Episode 8. With the moving compositions by John Williams and the London Symphony Orchestra soundtracks associated with those films. Just an overview, rest assured. We won't recount every detail and track of over 40 years of theatrical excellence. Just the important parts you need to know, to hand you off comfortably to the release of Episode 9, The Rise of Skywalker, dropping this week. By the way, at the intermission of the show, we will announce the winner of the two tickets to the Thursday night showing of the movie. Thank you to everyone who entered. Oh yeah, one other thing. You'll hear a lot of talk around the internet about viewing order. While the episodes are numerical 1 through 8, if you are of a certain age, you saw the movies as they came out, episodes 4, 5, 6, 1, 2, 3, 7, and 8. This includes a bunch of TV shows and standalone movies in between, like Solo, Rogue One, and The Mandalorian. That show is hot. Get Disney Plus, it's worth it. My name is Corey, and I approve that message, baby. For what we're doing tonight, we're going to explain the story in release order specifically for the narrative impact. Meaning, the story detail we received in release order would lose its effect if we started with Episode 1 for reasons you will soon hear. Storylines flow like the Force. They are alive and truly move us in the direction they were provided. You should know, before Disney bought the property, it was originally produced and distributed through 20th Century Fox. As you'll see on Disney Plus, for you old-school Star Wars fans like myself, I know you'll appreciate this one little throwback. And now, a long time ago, in a galaxy far, far away.
Thank you.
After the success of his previous film, American Graffiti, and a whole lot of hustling to get this production off the ground, Star Wars Episode IV, A New Hope, was released Wednesday, May 25, 1977, created and directed by George Lucas. As with every major Star Wars motion picture, those not considered standalone, there is an opening crawl of text to bring the viewer to where we are in the story. Episode 4 reads, "It is a period of civil war. Rebel spaceships striking from a hidden base have won their first victory against the evil Galactic Empire. During the battle, Rebel spies manage to steal secret plans to the Empire's ultimate weapon, the Death Star, an armored space station with enough power to destroy the entire planet. Pursued by the Empire's sinister agents, Princess Leia races home aboard her starship, custodian of the stolen plans that can save her people and restore freedom to the galaxy." Here, we are introduced to the Princess, the evil Darth Vader, and android C-3PO and R2-D2. In a last-chance bid to get the plans of the Death Star away from Vader's hands, Princess Leia gives them to the droids to make their escape to the desert planet Tatooine, charged with finding Obi-Wan Kenobi, an old Jedi Knight, protectors of the galaxy long past, to help them defeat the Empire. She truly believed he would be her only hope. Upon landing on Tatooine, instead of finding their intended target, the droids will eventually come into the possession of Luke Skywalker and his family, moisture farmers living in the middle of nowhere. Skywalker is young and impetuous. He dreams of traveling the stars and seeking adventure away from home. He's aware of the Empire, the Rebel Alliance, and wants to be part of the action. But how could he when he's stuck on the farm? A series of events will lead Luke to old Ben, the old man he knew roaming about the mountains and the dunes, but wasn't aware he was Obi-Wan Kenobi of the Ancient Order of Jedi Knights, the one the droids were looking for. I thought I would take this moment to explain that Darth Vader is a Sith Lord, an evil version of the Jedi. Knowing this will be important much later. Hearing Princess Leia's plea for help, Kenobi suggests Luke join him in traveling to Alderaan, learn the ways of the Force as Luke's father, whom Ben knew, had learned before him. Luke is told Darth Vader killed Luke's father. Regarding the Force, it is a power Jedis manipulate for the good of the galaxy. Additionally, the Jedi's weapon of choice is the lightsaber. To get to the princess, they would need a ship. Here, we are introduced to Han Solo, his first mate and co-pilot Chewbacca, and the fastest hunk of junk in the galaxy, the Millennium Falcon. For an expected fee, the smuggler would get the party to their destination of Alderaan, but not before making a fast escape off Tatooine, chased by the Empire. It should be noted here that Han Solo has a bounty on his head for a past smuggling issue. This information will be necessary to know for the next film. Meanwhile, on the Death Star, Princess Leia is being interrogated for the stolen plans and the Rebel base location. Unable to get her to talk, the Empire's Grand Moff Tarkin and Darth Vader step up their pressure by threatening to destroy her homeworld, Alderaan. Though she attempts to divert them to the false planet of Dantooine, the Empire destroys Alderaan with the phenomenal destructive power of the Death Star. Just in time for Luke, Ben, Han, Chewie, and the droids' arrival to a planet blown to bits, and into the Death Star's tractor beam. We'll be right back. Their ship captured by the Empire, our heroes sneak through the halls of the space station and discover the princess is actually on board with them. They devise a plan to split up. Ben Kenobi would disable the tractor beam to release the ship, and the others would venture to rescue the princess. Through a series of close calls, the rescue is a success, but Ben is confronted by whom we find to be a very old enemy of his, Darth Vader, Ben's old student in the ways of the Force. Igniting lightsabers, they duel to the death. Just as the crew of the Millennium Falcon make good their escape, Darth Vader strikes Ben down, unexpectedly finding no physical remains. The loss of Ben Kenobi, Luke's only form of guidance in the ways of the Jedi, is great, but the cause for righteousness over the Empire has never been greater. Soaring to the moon Yavin 4, in possession of the Death Star plans, our heroes gather with the Rebel forces to prepare for a last-ditch effort to attack the Death Star as it approaches to finish the rebellion once and for all. Luke joins the squadron to battle the Empire's forces. Although they suffer great losses, Luke uses his connection with the Force to bullseye the final shot that destroys the Death Star. So ends episode 4 and the introduction of episode 5, The Empire Strikes Back. Directed by Irvin Kershner, episode 5 released May 21st, 1980, and was exactly the sequel the fans wanted. It was everything the first Star Wars film was and more. The opening crawl reads, "It is a dark time for the Rebellion. Although the Death Star has been destroyed, Imperial troops have driven the Rebel forces from their hidden base and pursued them across the galaxy. Evading the dreaded Imperial Starfleet, a group of freedom fighters led by Luke Skywalker has established a new secret base on the remote ice world of Hoth. The evil Lord Darth Vader, obsessed with finding young Skywalker, has dispatched thousands of remote probes into the far reaches of space." The film opens with one such probe landing on the ice planet, searching for any evidence of Rebel forces. Han and Luke are scouting the terrain and adding sensors when another probe lands not far off. As Luke goes to investigate, he is attacked by a snow creature called the Wampa, hung upside down for the monster's next meal. Utilizing the Force, Luke escapes into the frozen tundra, clinging to life in well below zero temperatures. In his delirium, he sees and hears Ben Kenobi telling him to seek Yoda in the Dagobah system, the Jedi Master that taught him, just in time to be rescued by Han on his Tauntaun, his ride through the harsh snow. Meanwhile, the Empire has evidence of the Rebel forces on Hoth. Led by Darth Vader himself, they assault the ground forces to level the Rebel base, and the heroes split up. Luke and R2-D2 go into the Dagobah system, while Han, Leia, and Chewie make a narrow escape aboard the dysfunctional, hyperdrive-failing Millennium Falcon, with the Empire hot on their trail. Luke makes it to the planet Dagobah, crash landing on the dense swamp-like surface, unsure if he should even be there. Why would a Jedi Master be in the middle of a slimy mud hole? Offering to guide him to Yoda, a friendly, inquisitive creature leads Luke back to his hut for a meal. Luke entertains him, though he impatiently wishes to accomplish his mission. Thank you. Elsewhere, aboard the Falcon, through asteroid fields, out the maw of a giant space slug, and outrunning multiple Imperial Star Destroyers, Han guides his crew to Cloud City, where we are introduced to Lando Calrissian, an old friend, card player, and now administrator of the floating city. They've come for repairs and an escape from the Empire, unaware that they are being hunted by the skillful bounty hunter Boba Fett. Back on Dagobah, Luke discovers his host is actually Yoda, after embarrassing himself by being anything but a Jedi, impatient, distracted, unaware of his surroundings. Still, with coaxing by the spirited voice of Ben Kenobi, Yoda agrees to train Luke as a Jedi. Back on Cloud City, Lando reveals to Han the Empire has arrived just before he did. He had no choice. He had to escort them right into the hands of Darth Vader. By torturing Luke's friends, Vader draws Luke from wherever he's hiding in the universe, through the Force, to come rescue them. And he does. Feeling their anguish, he leaves his training to save his friends, against the warnings of both Yoda and the ghostly Ben Kenobi. Luke leaves the planet worrying the old Jedi Masters as he was their only hope. Until Yoda suggests there is another. As the Empire prepares a trap for young Skywalker, they test the carbon freezing process on Han Solo for the bounty hunter to take and claim his reward. Luke arrives on Cloud City, led to confront Darth Vader, dueling combatants with lightsabers. Lando finds the wiggle room he needs to break free of the Imperial grip, helping Leia and Chewie escape aboard the Falcon, having to leave his beautiful city among the clouds. Luke and Vader's duel extends into the inner workings of the city until the crescendo of their epic battle reveals a truth. Darth Vader is Luke's father. The suddenness of this news rippled through the Star Wars universe and, quite frankly, our own. Ben told Luke Vader killed his father. How could he be the son of the most evil tyrant of the known galaxy? Luke attempts to end his life rather than ruling the galaxy as father and son. Instead, he will find himself outside of Cloud City at the same time Lando, Leia, and Chewie make good their escape. It is here where we discover Leia can be called through the Force, demanding they turn back to the city to rescue Luke. Barely escaping with a reactivated hyperdrive, our heroes get as far away from Darth Vader as possible. After joining a portion of the Rebel fleet, our heroes have suffered emotional and physical wounds that won't easily be healed. Han, someone Leia has grown romantically close to, has been taken by the bounty hunter back to Tatooine. Lando and Chewbacca are going ahead to find him. Luke is lost in confused despair with information about his lineage that would be an awkward conversation among his fellow freedom fighters. Once again, our heroes are splintered as we close the breathtaking Episode 5. As we conclude Part 1 of the Star Wars Story Recap, we'd like to announce the winner of our ticket giveaway, Miss Maura May of Kennesaw, Georgia. Thank you, Miss May, for listening to the show and participating in our giveaway. Tune in tomorrow night as we continue the series straight up to the release of Episode 9, Friday, December 20th. Except Miss Maura May, who will be seeing the show on Thursday night at 8 p.m. at the Studio Movie Grill. Congratulations to you. I'll see you tomorrow night for the second part of the series. Have a good evening. See you soon.